Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord, our God and King. Today is a day that the Lord, our God, have made. And I thank God. And I'm glad in it. Very glad in it. Glad we have another chance to represent Him. He did make us kings and priests. We can represent people to God and represent God to all people. Preaching the gospel to every creature as we live according to His word. Very important. And I thank the Lord for that. Today is November. It's Friday, November the 5th, 2021. A blessed day that the Lord has made. You know, on the, I think it's the 17th. It will be, let's see, 70, 80, 90, 20. It'll be 5 years. In 2017, the Lord had me to. His word came to me that morning saying, tell my people, my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. And it changed everything. It changed the course of the way I ministered. It changed my focus. And I hadn't heard language and like that in so long. But this time it was the Holy Ghost. In the 80s, preachers used to preach that way. And I don't know how the church has received that word, but I know God gave it to me and all the revelation that came with it. He didn't just say that and nothing happened. A lot of good things happened. The Lord showed me a vision of the rapture once when I was working in the grocery store. This would have had to be, this was after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this was either the end of 83 or the beginning of 84. When the Lord showed me that vision, I received the Holy Spirit in November. It could have been November. I learned about the rapture, and I asked the Lord, "What would it be like?" He gave me an open vision, and He used the grocery store setting. I was sacking groceries for a lady, and I saw another lady pushing a basket wearing a red dress. And out of about 30 people in the store, just like that Saturday morning, about five people out of 30 disappeared with that lady in the red dress. I mean, when she disappeared, red dress and all. She was pushing a basket. I heard the horn, and I saw her disappear right before my eyes in my setting while I'm sacking groceries. So, in 2017, I asked when the Lord told me that. That word, I started watching YouTube videos of other people who had rapture visions and dreams. And then one of the most fascinating things that I saw, two of them, it was two fascinating discoveries I made in that season. One was Henry Groover's Milky Way vision. It's still on YouTube. They haven't taken it down yet, so you might want to look at it. It's very biblical and interesting. The whole thing. After that, he was interviewed by Steve Quayle. So that's when I began to listen to Henry Groover, and that really blessed me. I saw how God used people that will obey Him, and obeying God is important to me. And as I obey the Lord, my God and King, in ministry. And what I mean by following God and obeying God, He set the pace. He gave me what to do. I didn't do anything without His approval. Every message, every writing, the conversations we had, I followed His way. I didn't always understand, but I did it His way, and it always worked. And He took me, He had me to do things far beyond my years because I trusted Him. And I didn't... Before I learned to trust Him, I obeyed Him. I obeyed Him because of a covenant I made, just like Henry Groover did. He made an agreement with God. He said, Lord, if you help me to... He grew up in the Holiness Church, and Holiness people could be poor because they would be in church a lot, and they didn't have the education, and they, you know, he grew up picking cotton, you know, doing things that farmers would do. And his daddy started a lot of churches. And the Pentecostal churches in those days were not wealthy, like the Baptist and Methodist organizations. you were kind of on your own, and you didn't have, you know, you didn't have a house to live in. You had to buy your own house. You had to learn to use your faith. And in his testimony, you can listen to it for yourself in case I messed it up. But he, one day he said, "Lord, if you will bless me in electronics, whenever you need me to, I will work full time in ministry." And he made an agreement with the Lord. He said, "But wherever you send me," the Lord also used to send him out prayer walking. But he went before the Lord. He kept God first in his wisdom. He said, "Wherever you want me to go, you got to tell me and my wife." You know, that was the agreement that he, his wife, and the Lord made together. The Lord would tell him where to go and his wife, and he would give him the money he'll need before. Now, he sold into it before he just jumped out there in ministry. He made a lot of money in electronics, like, you know, the Lord is a God of covenant. He blessed him greatly. But then when it was time for him to go full time, he did it. And the miracles, you just have to listen to them yourself. And I had a taste of that as I obeyed God in my life. I didn't know anything about prayer walking, and one of my first independent assignments. Now, he gave me ministry assignment. He gave me, he would send me to pastors with words from the Lord, you know, words of wisdom, whatever, prophetic words for their ministry. But the first assignment that had nothing to do with anybody else was when he gave me the good newsletter. And he tapped me to, he gave me a vision about it. And he gave me instruction to write a letter, make 1,000 copies, and pass it out in my neighborhood, which I did. And I talk about it a lot, but for those who never heard that before, I obeyed him. It took me a few months to obey him, but I obeyed him. And when I did, the gunfight started. But before I started doing the week I was going to begin passing them out, the weekend I was going to begin passing them out that Sunday, I would pass them out on Sunday. And it started raining. Well, all the letters would have been wet. I looked out the window and I saw the Mormons on bicycles. And so I wanted to do something too. But my letters would have been wet if I had passed them out. So I started praying. I prayed. I blessed the assignment. I blessed the you know, I started blessing the people that would receive it, praying for them. And then as I passed them out, I was praying. So I knew nothing about prayer walking until I listened to Henry Gruber. And when he went out prayer walking, the Lord taught him how to do it. But when I did it, I just happened to do it because I saw Mormons out there preaching the gospel is not true. I know their doctrine is not accurate. And I wanted to, and I said, they were out there in the rain of all things, and I had to wait till it didn't rain, and everything would have been wet. So I just prayed. That's why I prayed. I probably would have prayed as I went. You know, you have to pray when you're doing ministry work. Ministry is warfare. You have to. I knew to do warfare. I did that, but I did it fervently because I saw the Mormons outside. That's a faith accident. Anyway, it worked. And from the time I began doing that assignment, the gunfight stopped. And they didn't start back. When I moved from that neighborhood, a gunfight broke out. And after those days, I ended up divorced. And I moved back into my old house. And I lived there about 3 years before I bought this house I'm living in now. And there were no gunfights when I moved back. But I stopped doing the newsletters when I moved in 96. So I did newsletters for a year and a half, all of 95, and all the way up to August of 96. And no more gunfights. Well, there used to be a gunfight every other week. So prayer walking works. If I had known what I know now, I probably wouldn't have stopped. But nevertheless, if I tell the truth, I stopped doing the good newsletter. But when the Lord gave me after that in 99, he gave me Living Letter Ministries. Then in 2006, he gave me the radio assignment. In Living Letter Ministries, I would write usually 1 to 2 page words. And I did one short story in a book in those days. And I would send the letters, the living letters to people on my mailing list. I had about 350 people on my mailing list. And I would do it every season. And then as the list got so long over the years, half of the letters started coming back because people would have moved, you know. So by that time, I was doing a radio broadcast. I went from doing a living letter every season to once a year. And then when I did the radio broadcast and the letters started, half of them would come back, I stopped doing them. I just suspended that part of the ministry. I am a one-man operation, so to speak. Except for, you know, I get help from my wife sometime. And one lady supports the radio ministry. I thank God for her. Since I've been doing the radio broadcast, I've only had 2 people send money. The one lady I just mentioned and another lady that called for counsel. And I gave her the counsel that God gave me to give, and she sent me $50, and I thank God for that. And the other donations come from me working on cars, and sometimes people pay me extra. And sometimes friends, I've had people at work to give me money on the radio broadcast. One of the firemen, he came, he said, "Man, you're a blessing on the radio." He gave me $20, and he would do that sometime, and others, you know. But I thank God for that. But from the radio audience, of course, you know, people that don't know me personally, the only 2 people. I thank God for that. But that's not the point. The point is getting the word out. I don't do this for money. And sometimes the Lord would have me to give my information so that people could donate. And I would do it whenever the Lord would prompt me. But that's not my motivation. Money is not I'm going to do this whether people help or not. Because so many preachers have muddied the waters that the word on the street is preachers just want your money. And I don't want to seem to give people an excuse when they're ignorant. It takes a lot of money to run any ministry. I fix all kind of cars, rebuild engines, transmissions, and all kind of, I fix a lot of cars to do that assignment. And they pay for the website and keep it running. I mean, it's expensive, but it's all right. That's what we're here for. I want to reach souls however I can. And it's a shame that people suck up money that could be used for the kingdom. And then you got preachers that just lavish themselves. They buy 2 or 3 mansions. I'm not going to give account to God for wasting money. To me, some of the things I've known that people would do is a waste of money. I'm not opposed to have a preacher of all people ought to have benefits and blessings, because ministry is a lot of work. It's warfare work. It's dangerous. People don't know the spiritual war that goes with it. People are vicious against you. Then the devil's trying to deceive you. You can get in a lot of trouble if you preach wrong. It's dangerous work. Ministry is more dangerous than combat. In combat, you might get killed, but in ministry, you can make a big fat mess, or you can bless a lot of people. Nevertheless, when you have spiritual wealth on your life, you will be rewarded, and you have to set things up as a man of God or woman of God, and even children of God. You need to set things up. You have a protocol where things don't get out of hand. And you don't steal from the ministry. Even though you're over the ministry, you can be over a ministry and steal from the ministry. Bad. Don't do that. And you can, sell books. Jesus said, "Freely you receive, freely give." I believe I took it literally. I don't sell what God gave me to give, I don't sell it. I give it away. I would like to publish a book and let it, I would love to publish a book and give them away, but that's very expensive. I wish I was rich so I could do something like that. But a lot of people that write, they give it away for a donation. That just to keep the ministry, just to keep it going. I understand that. And then they sell books so that they can survive. And the labor is worth its hire, just like you don't muzzle an ox that tread the corn, you know. And I believe in people giving preachers things personally and to the ministry. But if I accept anything from anyone, I want it, you know, if it's for me, it's for me. If for the ministry, it goes to the ministry. And all of it goes to the ministry. If there are times when I would get donations, I know the bill's coming up. If I had bills I had to pay now, I'd pay it, and then I'd put it back in the ministry, and the radio always got paid. That's how it works. When people help me, that's how I do it. They gave it to help me do this. And I make sure that the radio bill gets paid, the website gets paid, and everything. So, but when I heard how Henry Gruber set his ministry up, it was full of wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And in those days, as I listened to Henry Gruber, I was so blessed to hear that somebody was following God. And also, Steve Quayle follows God. I thank God for him. Yes, it was just so refreshing to hear the testimonies of others that hear from God and obey Him exactly to His specifications. And the way the Lord led Henry Gruber, he didn't go around asking for money. He would pray and ask the Lord for what he needed. And then a man wanted to give him lots of money. And the Lord said, he said, well, I'll accept it, but the Lord's going to give you the figure. He told the Lord what he needed, and the Lord gave the man the figure. Now, this is something that we're capable of doing. And he didn't try to get too much. They estimated what they would need to live on. And because he was working for the Lord, the workman deserves his hire. When I listen to his testimonies, they're just full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He did it that way to keep his focus on the Lord. You have to protect your focus on Jesus. If your focus changes, you'll change with it. And if you get into darkness and your focus does change because of darkness, because of pride, prestige, greed, lust, whatever it is, envy, those things change your focus. And the only way to repent is to change your focus back to Jesus. The Lord just taught me that. You have to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Every ministry should have its protocol. Now, I've been teaching, one of the main assignments that I've had in ministry was to teach people to follow me. The Lord told me that in 1991. He said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. And it may have been late 1990 when the Lord told me that. And so he gave me revelation about that on all the audio pages. I've talked about that, so I'm gonna skip all that. But there's a great need to follow God, and there's all kind of revelation that I desired to give every pastor I ever talked to, but I had instructions. I couldn't just teach them how to do it unless they wanted to know. The Lord gave me a protocol. That's why I know about protocols. I showed them what I gave them, whatever God gave me, and then sometimes I had more to give, but the Lord said, don't give it to them unless they ask. And sometimes they were not receptive, so I couldn't go any further with that particular pastor. And I always longed to do so, but that's like giving a dog a bath. That the Lord even gave me a subject last year called dog bath wars. You know, no dog wants a bath. It's unusual to have a dog that wants one, especially a big dog. Well, telling somebody something like that, and you barely know them, it just wasn't received. And And I've had to deal with that. But it was so refreshing to hear somebody that's literally going to the Holy Spirit like they did in the book of Acts. They didn't do anything unless the Lord gave them wisdom, unless the Lord directed them specifically. And all you have to do is read Acts. They stayed in the prayer room until the Lord said, you know, just like when the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And then they went out. They were prophets. And then the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. When they went out, they were apostles. And everywhere they went, the Lord guided them where to go. And see, we got to get back to that. And see, when God tell you to do something, you're anointed for it. If you're just doing a good idea, you're on your own. You know, you got to do that by faith, but it's not as good. And people don't know that. But in 2017, the reason I brought all that up was because in 2017, that's when all this started. You know, I was aware of who Henry Gruber was, Steve Quill, Tom Horn. I listened to them. I listened to one because of another. And God gave Steve Quill an assignment. It's different than Henry Gruber's. It's blessed. And I listened to his ministry. The Lord took him around the church. He got saved when Hal Lindsey told him Jesus loved him. He got saved. And then when he went home, the Lord appeared to him and showed him the future. Told him what to do. See, the church would have watered all that down. But he didn't have anybody to water it down. You know, I look at things by the wisdom that God gave me. I look at things a little different than others. When the Lord do something like that, give a man that just got saved a vision and tell him what to do, it's because the church had become something that, you know, it's, you know, the Lord told me the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. The ministry that Steve Quill has, you have to follow God. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Now, that's what the word says, but the problem is people, they want to be the author and finisher of their own faith and not let Jesus be the author and finisher of their faith, which he's the head. If you try to do a ministry without the head, how good will that be? It can never add up right. But along the course of Jesus' ministry, he always did what the Father told him to do. And he trained his disciples to be like that. And when they died out, the dark ages happened. So here we go. When they died out, things got corrupt. Then the dark ages happened. And then somebody, Martin Luther, taught people to live by faith and not superstition. So you got a lot of corruption that happened. We got to get back to following Jesus. And he'll give us what to do. Now, so in those days, all those things happened. That was my turning point in 2017. That was my modern day turning point. I had a lot of them. So I've been letting people know on the radio, Sunday school, website broadcast, that the Lord's return is imminent. At any moment, he can come back and take his people off earth. So, I'm saying all this because modern day Christendom has turned things around. People do things after their own desires for their own reasons. And their ministry is run like a business. I got so many words from the Lord where he taught that. I found one of them in earlier this year. And one day I might read it if the Lord give me the go ahead to do so. But I want to share something in Isaiah chapter 56. See, the Lord has a protocol, a living protocol. The last broadcast we did on the 4th, November the 4th, Thursday, November the 4th, was the death protocol. When people go rogue, then God has a death protocol. He'll raise up an enemy that's worse than they are to judge them. You know, one of the things that God showed Henry Grover is that Russia and China is going to invade America. A. Abrams had the same thing. Now, it has been delayed because people, anybody that will listen to Henry Grover, they got to be prayer warriors, people that pray. And the Lord let enough people that would pray hear it. And that's why it hadn't happened yet. Prophecy is not, it's not always definite. It's going to happen, but it's given so that you can stop it. And I know what I'm talking, that's how it is. Prophecy is given so that you can do something about it. God show you so you can pray and involve him. So far, so good. But when people do evil, they merit evil. And there's always an enemy out there that just can't wait to attack. And the people that attack, they're just as bad or worse than you are. So the key is, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world, so that you can delay these things. So when God takes his people off, then they're going to attack the wicked. And I warn the wicked so that they can come out of wickedness, change their focus, and live forever, just like we do. And then whatever Satan wants to do can't happen. I want to run his behind out of business. I want so many people to get saved that when the Antichrist appears, it'll be irrelevant. I want to run him out of business. He wants to run me out of business. He wants to run Jesus out of business. I'm the body of Christ. That's why I see it me. I'm part of the body. Me is you. You're part of the body. Now, Isaiah 56, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. This is a commandment. And he said, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Then verse 3, neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly spared me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. See, God loves all of us. The point is this. Don't think you're the least. Just love God and you're in the kingdom of God and you're acknowledged. Verse 3 says, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. You're not a second-class citizen just because you're not Jewish. And just because your people didn't love God and you got saved. You are just like Jesus in the eyes of Father God. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. A eunuch can still bear fruit. You'll just be helping other people see the word of God. You can still have sons and daughters in the spirit. See, verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You see that? God loves his people, all of us. Also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him. And to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. See, that's sincerity. They love God. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathered the outcast of Israel, said, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. So the Gentiles are going to come in. Verse 9, all ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all beasts of the forest. Now watch this. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. Now this is the wicked here. Yea, verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. This is the wicked. These are the wolves, the tares, that are preachers, priests, and prophets. The people that should be in joined together in covenant with God. Look at the description. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. That's why I don't like to ask for money in ministry, because so many wicked preachers have muddied the waters. And then they suck up the money, and the good preachers, God, they have to believe God for every little thing and fight the good fight and win the war. Verse 12, come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. This is the mindset of wicked men and women of God that call themselves preachers that are out of covenant. This is the Laodicean church all day. I'm going to read verse 10 again. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drinks, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. They think they got it made. But the Lord is going to judge. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He loves us. He loves all of his people. Let us all love him. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.